Coach Marone was gracious enough to give me an opportunity to be an offensive coordinator, and I plan on taking full advantage of it. I'm excited about it.
My job to make it mess. Take on the personality of our quarterback and him to understand what we're trying to get accomplished on a play-to-play, game-to-game, week-to-week basis is going to be critical. Playing in a National Football League is about taking advantage of opportunities, and Gardner did that. He's put himself in a great position to take the Jacksonville Jaguars and lead them into the future here.
This is an opportunity for me to just hone in on the offensive side of the ball again and really put my time and efforts into only offense and trying to make this the best offense I can.
XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Yeah, boy.
All right, then. Let's get underway here. Happy Wednesday morning, everybody. Glad you're along with us here. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, ET, talking Jaguars with you for the next couple of hours. We call it Jaguars Today because we're not that creative. Let's be honest, right? Trying to think. You know, I did back in the day on another network that no longer exists, I did a show called College Football Today. Mm. I was thinking about yesterday, you know, of course, you got CBS had the NFL Today. Still does.
They do, yeah.
For a long, long time. So it's not the most original thing. But I think it covers the fact that, you know, we're going to be talking Jaguars on
this
program.
Gets the point across. Yeah.
It does. Somebody was very upset on Twitter yesterday. How dare we even bring up Yannick Ngakoue because nobody wants to hear about it. Like, I get you're probably tired of the fact that, you know, he's holding out or whatever. Maybe. I can't speak for everybody out there. But clearly people are interested in the fate of Yannick Ngakoue, at least the people I talk to around these parts. So yesterday that was our poll question, Tony, and things wrapped up. This morning, right before we went on the air, we asked, barring injury, how many games do you think Yannick Ngakoue will play for the Jags in 2020? And the numbers settled, as they usually do, right about where they were at the end of the show. We usually put these polls out right before the show. And you got, percentage-wise, you have a pretty good understanding of where things are going to fall, ultimately. Right? Mm-hmm. The old poll sampling thing. 0-4 games won the day with 44.2%. So, basically, you know, 4.5 out of 10, or 45 out of 100, 44 out of 100, feel that he will not play at all for the Jaguars this year. Mm. That's the likelihood. I doubt you think he's going to play 3 games. You probably think he's going to play 0. And then 35% said that they thought he would play 13 or more. So those are the optimists in the crowd. And then you know, the middle was about 21% between 5 and 12 games, somewhere split between 5 and 8 and 9 and 12. So as of right now, I'd say in the larger category, I'd probably vote like 13 or more, and then my fallback might be like 5 to 8. Like he'd show up halfway through the season, something like that, and play the final 8 games of the year. But I don't think he's going to walk away from $17.8 million, but who knows? Maybe he will.
Maybe he will, yeah.
That was yesterday's poll question. Ian Rappaport gave us a good laugh yesterday.
Goodness gracious, I mean, did he ever.
What in the world?
He's like another coach, man. He'll correct me sometimes, probably. He's awesome.
Is that Ian Rappaport? Who's that? What's going on there, E?
That's John Gruden.
Oh. I didn't know. I thought he had Ian Rappaport all ready to go, all queued up.
No, that was Gruden. I bet.
That's all right. It's all good.
For a second, I thought Ian Rappaport was going on.
He just went, like, you didn't touch anything, right? Just started going.
I had to have touched something, but it was crazy. It was perfect timing.
It could have been done from another room, potentially. We're going to blame it on beef. I'm guessing it was a beef issue. I think he just yelled from the other room. I don't know if that he was acknowledging that or he was mad at me, but either way, who cares? Really, it's beef, for goodness sakes. Yesterday, Rappaport tweets out from NFL Total Access, the Rams and star cornerback Jalen Ramsey have not begun extension talks yet, but Ramsey isn't sweating it. Just like his time in Jacksonville, his focus isn't on the money. That's great. And like he actually replied to the first person who replied to that. Or one of the first people who replied to that and just said it was a marketing deal. So, isn't that about money?
Yes.
He showed up in a Brinks truck with with fake bags of cash with a guy going, gotta get that money, money. I think it's about the money, money.
At when least you, a little bit.
When you have a hype man yelling about the money, money.
Yeah.
Yes, that. So we're not going to belabor that today. We got our own issues to get into today. Actually, we got a lot of good stuff to get into today. Jay Gruden, Jags offensive coordinator, Tony, spoke yesterday about the importance of meshing his vision with Gardner Minshew, like he said, and you'll hear from him throughout the course of the show today. He's got no choice. He's got to mesh with Gardner. That's the guy.
Yeah.
That's the plan. And no matter if we've got practices ongoing right now or not, that's the guy. That's the quarterback situation that you're looking at in Jacksonville.
Yeah, Gardner Minshew's the man.
That's it.
Got to make it work.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work, the Jags are going to be really bad.
They're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah.
Maybe in big trouble anyway.
Yeah.
Don't know. You know, Gardner may play well, but maybe the rest of the team won't play well. Who knows? We've got some looks at where the Jags stack up against the rest of the league through the eyes of some of the national media. You know it's not good. All right? I'm not going to try to tease you and pretend that it's going to be anything positive whatsoever. Local media-wise, Johnny O will join us on the program today. The O stands for optimist. So we'll ask him, among other things, our questions of the day out there today about your level of optimism in terms of having an NFL season this year, right? We saw Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, come out and basically almost guarantee that there's going to be football this year, right? And you and I are very confident that there's going to be an NFL season this year. Now, will there be a full 16-game season? I'm probably slightly less confident in that regard. But then Demora Smith, along with represented the head of all the different players' associations, were doing an interview together, and they're asking the respective players' association heads, Demora Smith for the National Football League, how confident are you that your sport will have a season? And Tony Clark in baseball, I want to say Tony Clark was like an 8, or he said he was like, he goes like a 8 out of 10 is like a B. 9 is like a B plus, something like that. I'm a B plus, A minus kind of guy. So he was indicating he was like 8 to 9, right, and on a scale. Major League Baseball, have we not followed the story? It's like the perception is they're on the brink of shutting this thing down over money, right? It's not just the coronavirus. It's the coronavirus's impact on the economics of the game. And will there be an accord worked out between ownership and labor to continue the games? That's if there's one sport, Tone, right now that you're most concerned about playing a season, wouldn't it have to be baseball?
Easily,
yeah. Right? And he is an 8 to 9.
Yep.
Right? Now, maybe Demora Smith is just trying to be, you know, keep it a little bit close to the vest and not set up unrealistic expectations. But they asked him, and he said, I don't know, 6 or 7, which, you know, certainly stands in contrast to what Stephen Ross said yesterday. Now, maybe he's privately a little bit more optimistic than that, but maybe it's a case of there are some things to be worked out and negotiated with ownership.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
When you change, like, hey, we're going to do training camp in a different way. Well, okay, what does ours say in that? What are the new conditions? How does that impact us? So maybe he's leaving a little.
Even if the games aren't necessarily affected, where they're still going to be able to make a 16-game regular season work, if there aren't fans and that money isn't coming in, and what does the TV contract look like? Is that going to be affected by any of this?
Right. Is it impacting the salary cap?
Right. And when are the owners going to come to the players and say, hey, we need you to take a hit on this?
Or will they?
Right. Yeah. And that negotiation hasn't even begun as far as we know.
Or has it,
right,
in the sense of putting out there that he's only a 6 or 7 on,
right,
the confidence
That's
scale.
What that feels like
is
more
that
to
the,
me.
An
is,
opening salvo. And not that he's firing
we
shots.
We got some things to talk
like,
about.
Hey,
yeah.
Let's not rush into this. We got months to go.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, whatever I say, if I say a 10, does that make it any more likely that we play? No.
No.
I don't think so. So today, we ask you a couple of questions. The first one, how confident are you that the NFL will play a full 16-game season this year? Your choices in the poll are extremely confident, more confident than not. So you're over 50%, but, you know, you're not in that 90% range. Not very confident which means that you think there's somewhat less than a 50% chance that we're going to have a 16-game season, or not confident at all, which kind of leans towards you're worried that we're even going to play football. That's the way I interpret those.
Mm-hmm.
And we came up with the descriptors there. You can vote for the one that best matches your outlook on it. And the bonus question today, we asked, has the coronavirus pandemic impacted your NFL ticket buying plans for 2020? And then if you choose to, please reply with as much detail as you desire. Somebody said, hey, look, I already decided not to renew before the coronavirus popped up. That's fine. So in your case, the answer would be no, it didn't impact it.
Sure.
Right? But for this reason, I had already decided not to buy tickets, and that's fine. So your options are yes, no, what pandemic, or what's the NFL? For some reason, you're following me, and you're not a big fan of the National Football League. I don't know why you're following me, honestly, on Twitter. I don't talk about much more than that 97.5% of the time. All right, we are underway. If you want to get in, you can weigh in on those two polls on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at IME to the T. Those are great ways to interact with the program. Also, you can pick up the phone, call 641-1010, talk Jaguar football or NFL at large anytime you like. Johnny O will do that today. Actually, we'll call him, but he'll join us coming up in about 30 minutes, a little less than that, from Jaguars.com. Get his impressions of what Jay Gruden had to say yesterday, among other things, and we'll hear from the offensive coordinator of the Jags, in fact, coming up on the other side, about his relationship and trying to build a relationship with Jaguar quarterback Gardner Minshew, among other things. So we got a lot of odds and ends. We're going to get into a two-hour program today. Hope you're a part of it. Again, 641-1010, not only on the phone lines, but also on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Is Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, Tony, not liking the forecast for the middle of the afternoon today.
Oh, no?
No, over in the Fleming Island area. Sometimes I like to check random weather forecasts.
That's my side of town.
You know, in case I'm outside for like a four-hour period.
That's your boy's side over there.
Well, my boy, needs to put some kind of dome up or something, man. Talk to the weather god, D.
I'm going to do a rain dance.
You got the Minshew bandana on today, so you're powered up, full power, ready to go, and yet I see like 75% chance of thunderstorms throughout the mid-afternoon.
Oh, no.
I try not to let the weather dictate my mood.
Yeah, well, I let everything dictate my mood.
Whenever it's all gloomy and stuff, we tend to be like, eh. That's why,
I got you. Turn it up, baby. There you go. He's fist pumping in there, going nuts.
I'm going to do this all segment.
I bet you're not. But I'd like to see you try. All right, let's see how long you can keep it up. What would you describe that motion as, Tony?
Fist pump.
It's kind of like a fist pump, I guess. It's you're not keeping that up the whole segment. There is no way that's happening in there. Oh, he switched arms.
I got to work, man.
He's got to work. He's got to run the board. All right, a couple of things here. There it goes. It's over with. The fist pumping segment is done. Quickly, at ESPN story, I guess it came out yesterday on a piece on, teams' playoff chances and different questions facing teams and things like that. And you scroll down, there's a section in there. Is Trevor Lawrence destined for Jacksonville? No, he's not destined. I hope they win the Super Bowl.
Right? Yes.
And then that would be great. But maybe via the Rams pick, we would still like to get Trevor Lawrence. But here's what they had to say about it. The Jags rolling the dice on Minshew. The Football Power Index is not optimistic about it. That's their system that cranks out predictions, statistical predictions, and the like. The upside for Jacksonville, it is the most likely team to land the number one pick in the draft, according to their metrics. Of course, that means you only have a 23% chance. That means you have a 77% chance to either get rained on this afternoon or not have the number one pick in the draft.
Sure.
Right? I mean, so it's great that you have the biggest chance of any individual team. And head-to-head, maybe you take that bet. But against the field, not that optimistic.
Nope.
To be in that position. Meanwhile, they say there's an 85% chance that the Jags will have a top 10 pick. So 85% chance you're going to be in the bottom third of the league, but only a quarter chance that you're going to actually have the top pick, which dictates everything from that point forward, how much draft capital you might have to give up to move up and all this stuff. Who knows? And as they say, no guarantee Trevor Lawrence will be the number one pick, right? And even though it looks extremely likely at this point in time, perceptions change. Justin Fields had a magnificent year last year. Ridiculous numbers and efficiency. We thought Tua would go number one this year, as they point out. He lasted to the fifth pick. Sam Darnold was the presumptive number one in the 2018 draft, Tony, and he went third overall. So It's possible that Trevor Lawrence isn't the number one pick. In the power index, however, the Jags, of course, where you would expect them to be, based on everything I just said, in ESPN's eyes, at least their football power index has them ranked 32nd in the league. The projected wins are 4.9. Chances are five wins doesn't get you the number one pick in the draft. Now.
No.
Come on. But this is the most depressing number, I think, out of all that. I mean, 85% chance of picking the top 10 is pretty depressing. But 96% chance that they're not going to the playoffs, according to ESPN. 4% chance that they make, and that's with an extra playoff team in each conference this year. So,
wow, that number. That's crazy.
I mean, this is a team that won six games, won two out of their last three.
Yeah.
I mean, you can look at it that way. If you just want to look at the positive, all they did on offense was gain, pretty much, right? Gain a new offensive coordinator, who we're going to hear from momentarily. Yes, they lost Nick Foles, but he wasn't going to be your starter anyway. They gained Tyler Eifert. They gained Chris Thompson. They gained Laviska Shenault to what they already had, you know. And on defense, yeah, they lost some name guys, but
it's just striking. Look, the 4.9, you know, predicted win total, okay. You know, getting to five wins, whatever. That's a bad NFL season, but it's probably not bad enough to get the number one pick. Right? Like it's generally not going to be that kind of bad. So it's that the computers would not like this team to the level that one out of every 25 simulations they run, when seven out of the 16 teams in the conference are making the playoffs, they qualify one out of 25 times. Mm-hmm. That's crazy that the computers think that little of this team going into the season.
There are other teams that are kind of down there. It's interesting. The Carolina Panthers are projected to win. Okay, they're projected to win the same amount of games as Cincinnati with a slightly lower chance to reach the playoffs. There are only four teams with a single-digit chance to reach the playoffs, according to the Football Power Index, and that's the Jags, the Redskins, the Bengals, and the Panthers. Mm. And everybody else is somewhere at 12% or higher. In fact, you go up to like the 25th team in the power rankings, the Jets have a 1-4 chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
According to the Football Power Index. Of course, the Football Power Index really doesn't mean squat.
No.
Right? It's just something we talk about because it's May 27th.
Yeah.
For goodness
sake. Just remarkable that that number would be that low.
It's so negative. But one thing I would do if I were more inclined to work hard would be to add up the projected wins for all the team. And see if they equal, 256? Is that what you get? I think 256, right? It's how many games there are in an NFL regular season.
Yes.
That's what your projected wins. If you add all the teams together, that's what they should add up to. If you're projecting 280 wins, then your methodology is off to begin with, I would think. So, but the top group of teams that they have, Kansas City, Baltimore, San Fran, New Orleans, a lot of people would have them right around the top four. Dallas at five?
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. Philadelphia, who, correct me if I'm wrong, won the division last year. And they seem to improve this offseason as well. Do we know if Dak is 100% playing? I'd say 98.9% that he's going to get that deal done. Seattle, Tampa, New England, and Buffalo. New England in the 9 spot. A little bit surprising.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't only lose Brady, they lose some starting linebackers.
Yeah, I saw they had, like, on their projections, it was, like, Buffalo to win the division 41% of the time, New England to win it 40.9% of the time. Hmm. Like, it's a razor-thin margin.
Yeah, I could see that. I could, honestly, I think that is a pretty wide-open division right now. I think Miami's going to be competitive this year. I do. I think New England's going to have their hands full right at the beginning of the season. Miami always plays New England confidently.
Yes,
they usually
do
better late in the season in Miami, but this they're going to go to Foxborough early this year. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick will start the early part of the year, and I know on one projection I did for some show at some point, I think we just ran through the opening week schedule, and I think the Dolphins are going to beat the Patriots. At least that's how I feel in May. Hold me to it. I don't care. Just a random prediction here. Let's get to some thoughts from Jay Gruden, shall we? He spoke yesterday on a conference call. This audio courtesy of our friends at Jaguars.com. You'll hear from John Osier coming up here in about 15 minutes, the senior writer there. We'll start with this. Just some thoughts. Tell us what you feel and how you think about Gardner Minshew.
Playing in a National Football League is about taking advantage of your opportunities, and Gardner did that. He's a shining reason why once that opportunity presents itself, you take advantage of it, and he did that. And he's put himself in a great position to take the Jacksonville Jaguars and lead them into the future here. And he's shown a skill set where he can sit in the pocket, step up, make things happen outside the pocket. He's accurate. He's tough. And obviously he's a great leader. So he's got the intangibles you want at the quarterback. Now it's just got to get to know the team, got to get to know the offense a little bit, or we all gel together.
Yeah, he got to get to know Gruden's offense. But as much this is a case of Gruden needing to come in here, Tony, and as you'll hear him talk about, needed to mesh quickly with Gardner Minshew, you want to find out what Minshew does well, what he's comfortable with. I got to believe Jake Gruden is thinking, man, you know what? I've been a head coach in this league. This is a stop. This is a year where I'm taking a step back, and you'll hear him talk about how excited he is to be an OC again. He really enjoyed his time as an offensive coordinator up in Cincinnati, but I'm sure he has got designs on being a head coach again, and the easiest way to do it would be to lead an offensive revival with the Jacksonville Jaguars, have them go 9-7 or better, right? Led by Gardner Minshew, and have Gardner Minshew maybe go to the Pro Bowl. Is it that crazy to think that Gardner Minshew could go to a Pro Bowl in 2020? I don't think it is, because I think there's enough talk and there's enough awareness of him, even though he didn't get the recognition as a Rookie of the Year candidate or finalist, right, which was absurd. I think in the AFC, if you're the surprise team and there's buzz about you and Minshew puts up the numbers that he's capable of, I mean, builds off a 21-6 touchdown interception ratio and puts it in that 28-10 category, I absolutely think he's got a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume Mahomes and Watson are in the Pro Bowl.
Well, I mean, look, Lamar Jackson, it's not going to be easy, all right? But, you know, whether it's as an alternate or seriously in the conversation, I don't doubt. Look, Mahomes will be in the Pro Bowl.
Yep.
There's no question about it. And I would be hard-pressed to believe that Lamar Jackson is going to fall off that far from his MVP season. I think Deshaun Watson's up in the air because there's a lot new going on with that offense in Houston as well, right? I mean, no DeAndre Hopkins, and now your running game's relying on David Johnson.
Sure.
In his career, has had one 1,000-yard season, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, Minshew would probably have to have a season that is way better than Watson to jump line on him.
He might. He might have to.
But that's just the way that kind of thing
works. I
think he could
put himself at least in the legitimate conversation.
Yeah, if he's among the top 4 or 5 quarterbacks legitimately in the AFC when we get to the end of this year,
we got a whole nother conversation.
Really got something going. Another thought here from Gruden. He was just asked about the relationship that he's had so far with his new quarterback, Gardner Minshew.
Well, it's better mesh. It's my job to make it mesh. You know, it's take on the personality of our quarterback and him to understand what we're trying to get accomplished on a play-to-play, game-to-game, week-to-week basis is going to be critical. So now it's just a matter of him getting some general knowledge of our offense and me figuring out what he likes, what he doesn't like, what makes him tick, and go from there. But I'm pretty easy to get along with. I know he is, too. I think it'll be a great, great relationship.
Yeah, just reiterating the stuff we just said, you know, you got to play to his strengths and tailor your offense. Obviously, he's a West Coast guy, but what is it about the West Coast offense that Gardner can't do, right?
Sure.
It's rhythm passing, anticipation. I mean, he was fantastic in some of those aspects last year. And for a guy who, as we noted yesterday, very effective on the deep ball throwing, but not known as a, you know, probably never going to be known as a play action 7-step drop guy, you know, as his main area of expertise. I think he could be a great fit with the West Coast offense. Speaking of the Jags' current offense as a whole, what are Jay Gruden's impressions of that offense since taking over?
I don't have a lot of information as far as how these guys can handle different positions and how to run different routes and all that stuff. I know DD played in the slot. We drafted LaVisca. We'll see what he can do outside and inside. I'd like to move some of the other receivers around a little bit, Chris and DJ, and see what happens. And then, you know, you get Chris Thompson for some of the backfield stuff, but seeing Q and obviously Leonard do some stuff out of the backfield just to get to know everybody and to get Tyler Eifert back in the mix and moving him around and seeing where Josh Oliver's at and James. And it's just trying to we got to get these guys on the field. I think from a knowledge standpoint, they'll know the plays and the concepts, but then getting them out there and seeing them execute it and versus different looks and finding out what they're good at so we can best utilize their skill set. We got to get out on the field soon.
Am I wrong? Did maybe you mentioned right at the beginning? Did he skip DJ Chark?
No, he mentioned it.
Oh, he did. Okay.
He was talking about wanting to move DJ around a little bit more.
Okay, because I heard him say that about LaVisca, and I must have just blanked on that momentarily.
Yeah, he did. He definitely did. He talked about moving him into the slot a little bit, seeing what he looks like at some different places. And one more here from Jay, at least in this segment. We'll get some more from the new coach, the new offensive coordinator, a little bit later on in the show. But he was just asked about being hired by the Jags to come in as the OC.
Coach Marone was gracious enough to give me an opportunity to be an offensive coordinator, and I plan on taking full advantage of it. I'm excited about it, really. I had a great time being offensive coordinator in Cincinnati. I have no regrets what happened in Washington. Unfortunately, I didn't get it done. But this is an opportunity for me to just hone in on the offensive side of the ball again and really put my time and efforts into only offense and trying to make this the best offense I can.
All right, there you go. A little bit from Jay Gruden. Plenty more coming up as he goes into his observations of DJ Chark specifically, Tyler Eifert, Chris Thompson, Juwan Taylor, and more. We'll hear from more from Jay Gruden coming up in hour number two there. A couple I just wanted to note, responses that we've gotten so far to the questions of the day from Rel 831. He said, I thought the season is supposedly to be played without fans in the stands. Well, that is certainly a consideration at this point in time. I think it's trending towards much more towards some level of fans in the stands as opposed to no fans in the stands whatsoever. Full house or capacity, I don't know, you know, but, you know, that is certainly not written in stone that the season will be played without fans in the stands. In fact, you know, that's part of the reason. Hey, look, the Jags are keeping your options open for you like NFL teams across the league are. If you buy tickets, get a full refund before the start of the season. If something happens, maybe the schedule is condensed, whatever the case. Then this one from Scott, I thought this was interesting. He said, yes, in terms of did the coronavirus impact your decision to buy tickets? He said, yes, I intend to buy them where I hadn't before. All this staying at home made me appreciate how much I enjoy going to the games, despite sometimes the results. And he put in parentheses, I was not going to renew in protest of the two London games. So now he's sitting at home thinking, man, do I want to go through this in the fall? No, I don't like my family that much. Let's get down to the stadium and have a distraction. So there you go, Scott. Thank you for the feedback. Those questions, those poll questions up on Twitter so you can weigh in on those today. John Osier from Jaguars.com going to stop by and converse with us on all things Jaguars. That's coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
That's not Johnny Zero, Emmanuel, I keep trying to tell you. It's Johnny O, John Osier, Jaguars.com, their senior writer, joining us here on Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith. John, good morning. How are you, bud?
I'm good. It's still in one week turns into the next mode. I don't know how it is with you guys. It
yeah,
still
pretty feels much.
Like, yeah, it's wild, isn't it? It's,
yeah. We had a nice 3-day weekend help, though. Yeah. That makes for a nice short week and everything.
Yeah, I think I'm really feeling the no OTAs. It looks like no mini camp. I can't say it for sure, but it's pretty doubtful. You're just so used to an NFL body clock, you know what I mean? So it's a weird thing not having anything right now.
Yeah, it is strange because Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports reported yesterday that players could potentially be called to participate in full squad minicamps in mid to late June. It seemed like multiple reports came out after that said, whoa, that seems very, very aggressive, John. Look, I'd love for that to be the case because then things are way ahead of schedule, but I got to believe, you know, I think the best realistic hope you have right now, if you're a Jaguar fan or a member of the organization, just want things to start and have a regular normal season, is to get there at the regularly scheduled start of training camp. I think that's the realistic hope that you have right now.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. When I said it looked like the mini camp, that wasn't inside info. It's
right.
It's sort of what it feels. I guess realistically, you're hoping for I started training camp, and everything I hear, read, sense is that, you know, most people think there's a pretty good chance of that happening at this point. So it sort of feels, again, I've been saying it all along, it sort of feels like it may take on a very similar feel to 2011 when there was nothing, with the plus right now being at least they've had the virtual contact. In 2011, remember, I think they came in for the draft after the draft. The rookies did. Beyond that, there was no off-season contact, anything. So this virtual thing will be the big difference between that.
Yeah, and look, another week of a virtual off-season and another chance to check in with you, Johnny O. Haven't had the chance to talk to whoever you've had the chance to talk to just about what has this virtual portion of the off-season been like, especially compared to years past for players and coaches.
Well, I thought Jay Gruden was really interesting yesterday because he sort of took a lot of the sugarcoating off and said, hey, I need these guys in the field to get a feel for them. I mean, yeah, he talked a lot and it was interesting. He doesn't worry about the one-way conversation, meaning he doesn't worry about players picking up what he's teaching virtually. You know, and he didn't say this, but I'm assuming most of these guys are smart. They've played football. They know what plays are. They can pick that up during training camp. What he talked about was him sort of getting an innate feel over what each player is sort of comfortable with, not what they're telling them they can do, but seeing it on the field and saying, okay, when this guy is facing this defense, he's real comfortable running this route, or he does it easily. And Jay said a couple of times, look, we got to get these guys in the field to learn that. He gets that there are circumstances why you can't. But, you know, I thought that was the most interesting thing so far that the coaches have said. Most of the coaches have said, hey, everybody's dealing with the same thing. Certainly a first-year coordinator dealing with some of the things Jay was talking about yesterday will need to be worked out quickly in training camp.
John, have you talked with any of the offensive players about their reaction and interaction with Jay Gruden virtually or otherwise, just like what their opinion of what he's going to bring to this offense is?
You know, I've talked to a lot of the rookies, haven't talked to a lot of veterans yet. The veterans who have been on the conference calls, I think a lot of listeners have seen, have been Chris Thompson and Tyler Eifert, who are already familiar with Gruden.
Right.
So that's probably not the dynamic of the answer you want. You know, so I don't know. My sense is, if you've been an offensive coordinator and head coach, I'm sure he can teach this stuff. The interesting things that both Eifert and Thompson have said was just talking about how much Jay likes to use multiple routes with the receivers and put a running back, you know, in a wide receiver position, a tight end in the running back position. He likes to create those matchups. So it sort of lines up with what Jay said yesterday. He needs to see what guys can handle, and guys need to be on the field running those routes and getting comfortable with it. So that seems to me the thing that he's most worried about, and maybe players are going to have to adapt to the quickest.
What are your expectations for Gardner Minshew working with Gruden?
You know, I'm sure they'll be fine. I mean, Gruden's a West Coast offense guy. His base stuff is that. Minshew played well with play action last year, and that's a big part of the West Coast offense. I don't know why they wouldn't. As Jay said yesterday, he's an easy guy to get along with. Nobody doesn't get along with Minshew, and he works hard. So I don't think any coaches would have a problem with the way he approaches the game. In terms of how his style of play messes with the West Coast offense, it should. There's been a lot of talk and a lot of – I've written a couple stories about Minshew needing to stay in the pocket more. Kurt Warner was on Jaguars.com about a couple weeks ago and said he believes that Minshew can play that style. He played it in college. But I think that will be the biggest maybe adjustment or thing Minshew has to do this year. He has to stay in the pocket better, has to be a little more poised back there, make better decisions. But that's year two stuff anyway. So there's no reason to think he can't, but that's his task.
Yeah, John, I think Tony and I, we're excited about Gardner Minshew, but we try to be realistic. You know, there's potential downside to his game. There's potential upside, too. And just a few moments ago, we were saying, you know, I don't think it's crazy that he could get in the conversation to go to the Pro Bowl in the AFC. And we're saying, you know, Mahomes probably a lock. hard to believe Lamar Jackson wouldn't follow up an MVP season with something worthy of a Pro Bowl, but, you know, Deshaun Watson has got a lot of new offensive pieces around him in Houston. You know, there's some – I'm not saying that he'd definitively get in there, but be in the conversation. We got one reply on our text line, said the only radio station in the world that would mention Deshaun Watson and Minshew in the same breath. Pro Bowl for Minshew, he's the fourth quarterback in the AFC South, maybe the fifth. Maybe the fifth. I'm not sure who the other
– said, I guess.
Maybe. How big of a jump do you think he's capable of making in year two, John, if things fall fairly well for him here in 2020?
Well, with you, with that question to me, there's a wide range of possibilities because he's only had 12 starts. So mm-hmm. he could go off the rails and have a season full of those halves that I keep talking about. He had some awful halves last year and some awful games. So he's capable of that. But how high can he go? He's got something. He's got savvy, spark. He throws a good deep ball. He is a very intelligent player. Whatever he doesn't do won't be because he's not smart enough to do it, doesn't work at it, and can't apply it. So, the question to me with Watson is how good is he without Hopkins? There's always NFL people who say, he leans on him a lot. And it'll be a different offense once he's gone. We'll find that out this year. I would have trouble putting Gardner in the top three, but there's no reason why he can't be a very good starting quarterback. But right now, all he's given you is hope, and he has to iron out the long stretches of ineffectiveness. And there were too many last year. Was that rookie stuff, or was that who he is? I think that's what starts to get decided this year.
Gruden mentioned yesterday, too, the idea, as you've already mentioned, that moving guys around are different spots, but he's got to get on the field to see it. Do you think moving a guy like DJ Chark around will help him maybe take that game to an even higher level this year?
Yeah, I don't know how much of that you do with DJ, maybe some. I mean, he strikes you as he's going to be that guy on the outside making that play. I would think you move him in with spot. I think the biggest thing that'll help start is if Chenault develops and is a guy that defenses have to pay attention to and that they're scared of. Last year, it seemed to me with Chark, he went through a very typical young receiver story arc, if you will, where he burst onto the scene, he showed you everything he could do, athleticism, big time, and then all of a sudden defenses figured out, hey, this is the guy we got to stop. Wasn't as effective late in the season, nor was Minshew when defenses tried to stop them both. And both of those guys learn to beat double teams, learn to do things when things get taken away from them. Gruden moving guys around should certainly help Chark in that regard. But to me, it's Chenault. Can he make defenses pay attention to him and let Chark have some single teams again?
John, a couple of poll questions we've done in the last couple of days. Let's get your opinion on them. It's ground we've plowed over before, but let's get your up-to-date thoughts on this. One, yesterday we asked, barring injury, how many games do you think Yannick Ngakoue will play for the Jaguars in 2020? 0-4, 5-8, 9-12, or 13 or more? And as kind of expected, people voting at the extreme margins, either they think he's not going to show up or will probably show up and play the season out. One or the other, on the full end or not at all. Where would you fall on that?
I would say 13 or more, but wouldn't surprise me if he missed a couple at the start. I don't think he necessarily missed four at the start, but missed a couple to prove his point and then realize, hey, I'm not getting paid. That would seem – he's been so adamant about his stance that it seems like it may take a little longer for reality to set in that, hey, I'm not getting traded, but I need to get paid. So maybe missing a few, but maybe not five.
Yeah,
so,
I'll say
13, but yeah. I'll say 13 or more, but I'm probably leaning closer to the 12 answer because that's the spirit of it. That he'll
as we said yesterday, too, it's a possibility he shows up and signs his franchise tender right after training camp, and then they're not going to put him in a game for a couple weeks. You know what I mean? He's going to show up in shape, but is he going to show up in the shape to play in a National Football League game? That may be. So it could be a case that he ends up playing in 14 games, even though he shows up right at the beginning of the season. The other one we asked today, just simply, how confident are you that the NFL will play a full 16-game season this year? Extremely confident, more confident than not, not very confident, or not confident at all. On a full 16-game season, how would you weigh in on that?
More confident than not. I mean, I only say that because with this whole storyline, whatever you call the coronavirus pandemic, it's so hard to be completely confident in anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I do get a real feeling that maybe even more so than a month ago, there's a real feeling that they're playing 16 within, like, that's what the league's planning on. There's obviously contingencies because you'd be insane not to have a million contingencies off this. But there's a feeling that, what it'll look like, who knows? But the 16 is the, I would lean more toward it happening than not. So I think that's your answer.
You had DJ Hayden on the latest Ozone podcast. Was there a takeaway or two from that conversation for you?
Well, he's a Jordan guy. Loves Jordan over LeBron. So that was interesting. And that was his last binge watch, was the Last Dance. Those are some of the fun questions we try to ask. He's always been a fascinating guy to me, and he talked a little bit about this, that here's a guy who comes in as a top 12 pick and is an outside corner, and he has really become one of the better nickelbacks in the league, which is a little bit of a change in role for a guy like that, has embraced it, talked a lot about how nickel corner, unlike outside corner, you've really got to be a football player, meaning you've got to be aware out there. You've got to be able to blitz. So he talked a little bit about that. And then he obviously talked some about this being a completely different team than the one he came into. You know, he came in 2018, remember. He's the only guy left in the secondary outside, Trey Herndon. I mean, some of the safety guys. But the essence of the secondary is gone. And the essence of the defense is gone. And he came in as a new guy, and now he's one of the leaders. So he talked a lot about that. And if you've ever heard his soundbite, he's always an entertaining guy, and he'll say what's on his mind. So it was I enjoyed it. I like DJ a lot.
Yeah, we do too. And he's been a really good player for this team, no question.
Boy, hasn't he?
He has, man. It's been one of the kind of under-the-radar signings because he doesn't play. You know, nickel corner, you can consider that a starter in today's NFL, but it's not. Officially a starter, but he's so good in such an important role that they have opted not to move him out of that role because why weaken two spots potentially? So we'll see how it all plays out. Plenty of other good content along with that available at Jaguars.com as there always is. John, what's on the agenda for you over the next 7 days?
Well, my dog's going to bark at somebody, first of all.
Yeah.
This week it's a lot of Jay Gruden talking, so I wrote a couple stories on that today. He really hadn't talked a whole lot, so getting into a lot of what he thinks about the offense, there'll be two stories on that on Jaguars.com today. And then later on in the week, just covering the offseason and making sure fans know what's going on from the players talking. That's still a main part of the job.
All right, John, we appreciate it. As always, enjoy the conversation. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, I enjoyed it. We'll talk to you.
Thank you, buddy. There he goes. John Osier, the senior writer from Jaguars.com. Check out his podcast. Check out his stories. It's all there for you. And we appreciate Jaguars.com making the audio available. That will bring you more of in hour number two with Jaguar offensive coordinator Jay Gruden. All right, we will move along to this date in football, the drive around the National Football League, plus SI's all-decade underrated team. Over the last 10 years, any Jaguars make the list? We'll tell you coming up on the other side. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, not a whole lot going on in this date in football history, but we do note the birth of one Danny Werfel. Danny Werfel was a phenomenal college quarterback, obviously at the University of Florida, won the Heisman Trophy. And stayed all 4 years, won a national championship, came out in the 1997 draft where he went. Where did Danny Werfel go in the draft, Tony? What do you think? What pick number did he go?
Ooh, like 190.
99.
Really?
Yeah, so higher than I thought, yeah. Higher than I remembered. I would have thought, I'm looking it up, I thought, what was he, like a sixth rounder? No, he went in the fourth round to the Saints in the 1997 NFL draft and ended up playing 6 years in the league.
That ain't bad.
No, 3 years with New Orleans, only 4-6 as a starter. Really not very effective, but 12 touchdowns, 22 interceptions, and probably the lasting image of Danny Werfel in the league was with his helmet completely turned around in a game that he played for the Saints. Also appeared with Green Bay, Chicago, and Washington at the tail end of his career. So that's what we got for you today. Happy 46th birthday to Danny Werfel, and that's what we have for you this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
New Orleans Saints defensive end Noah Spence tore his ACL while training away from the team's facility this week and will miss the entire 2020 season. Spence has been placed on the non-football injury list, so he will not count against the team's 90-man roster and is not eligible to play for the Saints this season.
Does that suck for him, though? Like, he's not allowed to be at the team facility.
Nope.
He's supposed to be working out. So maybe he was doing something non-prescribed by the team, but, I mean,
who knows?
Aren't these guys protected if they're working out at home to some degree? If they're following, like, the team's protocols, that just seems like a pretty harsh blow for Noah Spence.
Maybe not if you're a guy that's kind of at the end of the roster anyway. They're probably not protecting you all that much.
Probably not.
Newly signed New York Jets quarterback Joe Flacco confirmed yesterday that he will not be ready for the start of the regular season after undergoing neck surgery this year. Los Angeles Rams cornerback Jalen Ramsey was asked about where he and the team are in regards to a contract extension and said during a video conference call that the team knows where he stands and that it will get worked out. When asked if he will be there for training camp, he said he would be there for training camp. So we'll see how that works between the Rams and Jalen Ramsey. The Dolphins have announced plans to open up Hard Rock Stadium as a drive-in movie theater. The team says that it will show classic movies, games, and concerts. For the events, refreshments will be available to be ordered from and delivered to cars. For the idea being that they want to get families in there to watch some stuff, get some time, get out of the house a little bit together. Vince McMahon said in bankruptcy court yesterday that he will not make any attempt to try and buy back the XFL, despite reports to the contrary over the weekend.
All right, good. I say good. It just seemed like
it was shady.
Shady, right? Yeah. Like, hey, I'm going to go into bankruptcy and get this back for pennies on the dollar, and meanwhile I'll screw all the employees who are expecting money. So I'm glad that that's the case, or it looks like that's going to be the case. Let's see. I just retweeted this one because I don't have the perspective to really help you on this. From JackVan15, we're asking about, does the coronavirus pandemic impact your ticket buying decisions? He said, no, I'm still trying to make it down for the Bears game. That was apparently the one game he was going to come into town for.
Mm-hmm.
And then he asked, any seating suggestions? So I sent that out into the Twitter sphere. We'll see what he gets back. I'm sure there are plenty of faithful Jaguar ticket holders who have seating suggestions for you. I will be in the Jaguar radio studio, knock on wood, hopefully,
yeah,
this football season. And thus, I don't really have the best, you know, info for you on sight lines and all that. I can't tell you the last time I sat in the stands and watched a game, usually a work day. But, Tony, I did want to get to here something that you brought to my attention, which was the all-decade underrated team put out by Sports Illustrated. They did this yesterday. This is basically the players from the year 2010 through 2019 that were the most underrated, and they filled out a regular team's worth, you know, a regular roster.
Yeah.
There's one quarterback, one running back, three receivers. That's what they went with, a tight end, and on and on and on. And there is one Jacksonville Jaguar that makes it on the list. So, first of all, in that period of time, how many Jag players do you think would even be in the realm of being good enough, being underrated, but good enough to get any kind of recognition on a team like this? I'm talking about guys still left on the Jags,
yeah,
by the way.
Still left. I mean,
because, like, I don't think Calais is underrated. I think most people like Calais' game and think he's you know, a really good player and recognize that. And I think Ramsey was considered one of the best corners in the league.
Uh-huh.
I don't think he was underrated. Maybe A.J. Boye, right?
Boye
possibly fit into that. Because he still doesn't get mentioned among the elite corners often. And he, at times, played like that.
Yeah, but like you say, he's not here.
Right.
Among the guys that are here, not –
not too many, right?
No. I mean, the one they put on there would be the only one that I think would even – like, and I'd have to think about it to get to him. But it'd be like, when I saw the name, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that makes some sense.
Yeah.
Right? That's Brandon Linder, by the way, which you know, that I believe he's not still the highest paid center in the league. He was at one point, obviously, when he signed his deal. He's among the higher paid players at his position. They thought he had a really good year last year. You know, again, I can't say the offensive line was great as a whole, because it wasn't great as a whole.
No, yeah.
That doesn't mean Linder couldn't have handled his responsibilities pretty well. I'm sure there are people who are going to point out, I remember that time he let that one guy go. Hey, sure, everybody gives up a few along the way, but he's been a pretty solid player. They love him. They love him at center, and obviously because there's been a lot of talk among the fan base and the media speculating, would they move him out to guard to strengthen that and go try to find a center somewhere? If you got a guy who can play both equally effectively, generally you're going to leave him at center because it's a more demanding position. It's a harder position to fill.
Still has the biggest contract at center in the league.
He does have the biggest. Okay, I wasn't sure if that was the case or not. And Norwell has the biggest guard contract, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I think Zach Martin topped him, but I saw there was a story out recently that talked about who was the highest paid at each position, and Norwell was still listed for the upcoming season as having the highest salary. Or maybe total compensation, something like that. Either way.
Martin's 6 for 84. Norwell is 5 for 66.5.
Right. What about this year specifically? Now, Norwell's redone his deal.
Yeah.
To take a little less but get it guaranteed. Either way, probably paid too much money.
Yeah.
Right? So whether it's the most, the second most, doesn't really matter. Here's the offensive squad. Matthew Stafford is the quarterback on that team. Has he ever won a playoff game? I don't think he has.
No, he had the game against Dallas that
right. They
should have won.
Should have won, didn't win. So maybe he would have won one. But either way, I mean, he's productive. They're generally competitive with him. He was off to a terrific start last year, for instance, but hasn't won a whole lot. But nevertheless, the underrated quarterback. The running back is Frank Gore that they go with. I'm still going strong. He may win this in 10 years from now again. At this rate, the three receivers are Doug Baldwin, Emmanuel Sanders, and Golden Tate. That's a pretty solid trio of guys. Emmanuel Sanders is a really, really good player.
Yeah. When you're talking about underrated guys,
like
you hear those names and it's like, yeah, those guys are underrated.
Yeah.
Like, even with the accolades that they get from time to time, it still feels like they are underrated. Yeah.
Your tight end was Delanie Walker of Tennessee.
Sure.
Put your Tennessee hate aside, and you can certainly recognize that Delanie had, you know, a couple seasons where he was among the better tight ends in the National Football League. Offensive line, in addition to Linder, Teron Armstead, David Bakhtiari, Andrew Whitworth, and Kelechi Osemele. I don't know if Whitworth and Osemele are all that underrated.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they got a lot of accolades. But regardless, defensively, no Jaguars on there. Akeem Hicks on the defensive line, along with Cameron Wake, Ryan Kerrigan, could have had him. Mario Addison probably could have had a lot of these guys, right? Linebackers KJ Wright, DeMario Davis, and Levante David. Wow, that's a highly productive guy. I guess it depends on your point of view. I've always thought he was one of the better linebackers out there, but so be it.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Joseph and Chris Harris Jr. at corner. I don't know, Chris Harris and Jonathan, I think they get a lot of their due, but regardless, Micah Hyde and Mike Adams are your safeties on that list. So the only Jaguar to make the Sports Illustrated All-Decade Underrated Team was center Brandon Linder, just listed as an interior offensive lineman. They put three tackles on the team, a couple of interior linemen, whatever. It's just a list in May, for goodness sake. So we'll come back. We'll hear more from Jay Gruden, the offensive coordinator of your Jacksonville Jaguars, as he spoke with the media yesterday. If you want to get in, weigh in on anything Jaguar or NFL related, 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. And hit us up on Twitter today for a couple of poll questions. You go to @MD_1010XL and figure it out. And we've got how confident are you that the NFL will play a full 16-game season this year with different options to vote on? And then has the coronavirus pandemic impacted your NFL ticket buying plans for 2020, and a number of options to reply to with that as well. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, ET, you're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All Jags, all NFL, Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, E, so I had to cancel my trip to Fleming Island today. I was going to hang with you today.
Fist pumping did nothing.
No, he gave up on it, Tony, after like 30 seconds of fist pumping.
Yeah.
Thought we were on Jersey Shore family vacation there for a second.
No, I had to produce the worldwide Jaguars today.
Thank you. It is worldwide.
It is.
On the World Wide Web, go to www.1010xl.com. Mm-hmm. And you can listen anywhere there's internet capability,
which is
nice. Come on, somebody. By the way, the fist pumping thing, I have to admit, I try to be an open book, right? Like, we try to be as self-deprecating as possible. We put our business out there on Front Street, Tony, I believe is what the kids said like 30 years ago, okay? But I thought about, we're going to do one of these polls. In fact, maybe we'll do it tomorrow. It'll be a bonus poll question tomorrow. What is your TV guilty pleasure viewing?
Mm.
And I do watch Jersey Shore Family Vacation. I didn't watch the original couple seasons of Jersey Shore, but now they're all living in a house, whatever. And then the one where Paulie and Vinny try to find love, like the double shot at love.
You really know the characters.
I started watching it ironically, like I think I did, but then I was like, I kind of like it. I'm gonna watch this. And they call Vinny the Keto Guido because he's on the keto diet. So there you go. There's way more than you need to know.
Yeah, why wouldn't you call it?
But it's
that?
A guilty pleasure. The other one is Catfish. Bro, when Catfish comes on and when it's and some days, you know, like MTV, you almost can't find a night where there aren't 50 episodes of Ridiculousness on, right?
Yes.
And that's not even a guilty pleasure. I will watch Ridiculousness because I love a good somebody falls on their face video.
I'm with you, yeah.
Right? I mean, who doesn't love a good fall on your face video?
Yeah.
My wife.
That's why YouTube exists.
It really is, right? It really, those quote, fail videos,
yeah.
Fantastic to watch. Love them. But Catfish, bro, let me settle in. I'm like, oh, what? I got like 6 episodes in a row, and I will just leave it on all day. It doesn't mean I won't walk away from the television. I'll walk in and out and come back in and pop in because you can catch up on Catfish. I'll just little secret there for you, but that is my guilty pleasure.
Wonder what's happening.
I do love Catfish.
This guy is lying about something. Okay.
Right.
I'm caught up.
On occasion, once or twice.
It'll be real.
It's real.
Yeah.
And the person has like a social anxiety disorder, and they're really afraid of meeting face to face, and you know that's like it's like a real issue for them. But you know the show, and for the folks who don't know the show Catfish, it's the one where people meet people online. Thank goodness I quote dated in the in the pre-internet days. You know, we just went to the bar. We didn't go to the chat room. We went to the bar. All right, and that's where you're gonna meet people if you're not meeting them on campus or whatever. But people meet up and then they get, I don't know where the term came from, why it's called catfishing. You know, like, is there something inherent where a catfish makes you think you got a grouper on the line and then you pull it up and you're like, damn, it's a catfish.
Oh, they got me again.
Like, what is this thing doing? You know, like, by the way, you catch catfish, don't you, by like sticking your hand down their throat?
That's one way. I think that's called noodling.
Is it noodling? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, I think it's crazy, but it's kind of fun to watch too. But anyway, you know, if you meet somebody online and they're not video chatting with you and they won't talk to you on the phone.
They're
well, if they won't
catfish.
Talk to you on the phone, they're probably not the sex that you think they are is one thing. And if they won't video chat, they certainly don't. They're not the person that they're showing you pictures of. So anyway, I do love the show. It's a guilty pleasure.
Dr. Pimple Popper.
I can't. I see the commercials and I'm like,
that's your show.
I don't go looking for it, but whenever you know I find it, I just can't stop. I'm like,
there is an awful fascination with that kind of thing. Like you can't look away. Like you look through kind of like, right through your hand. You're looking through your fingers at that kind of stuff. So anyway. Not going to play golf in E.T.'s neck of the woods today because it looks like thunderstorms out there. So we're talking about then how you're going to get your exercise, blah, blah, blah. And so E brings up, he goes, have you seen what Mike Tyson looks like these days?
Oh, he's still ripped.
He is ripped, right?
Yeah.
He's in great freaking shape,
yes.
Right? And so E, what was the either or you proposed?
I said I would rather shoot myself in the foot with a 22 like a pistol than let him punch me in my face.
Then let him punch you in the face.
Yeah, I'd just shoot myself.
I think we need to dig down on this, though, a little bit. Because you, at one point you then said, I'd shoot my whole foot off with a 12-gauge.
Yeah, I probably would. But, you know, that's like if he has a running start with no glove on. You're like, no.
With
what?
No glove.
Yeah, running start, no glove on, get him in that 12-gauge, bro.
I think I'd have to take the face punch. Like, ultimately, like, the 22, if you do it right, maybe you get away. I just think, man, you get these wide receivers with a little foot injury, Tony, and they get the tiniest little hairline crack in there, and they're never the same. Look,
yeah.
I'm not fleet of foot, but I want to be able to walk. Right? So I don't know if shooting myself in the foot is the way to go. Does Tyson have to wear a glove for this? I think it would be the
yeah,
big
do I get to wear
factor.
A helmet?
Or at least like yeah. amateur boxing face gear.
Yeah. I'm an amateur.
Absolutely.
I qualify.
But if it gets you square in the nose, there's nothing to, you know, that's the thing. Like, I want to do it where if I do it, I want Mike to do it by surprise. I want Mike hiding behind a bush going, hey, Dempsey. You know, over here, right? You was always a Riddick Bowe fan. And then just, you know, catch me, like, I turn and smack and I'm out on the grass before I
it's
even know what's
happening.
It's
been coming a long
happening. Time, Dempsey. It's the anticipation of it, I think, that would be the worst thing.
You were always a Riddick Bowe
fan. I don't know what he might say, you know? I don't know. What. Who knows what Mike might say? You know, but
who knows,
I think the worst part, like, imagine if you had to stand there like 15 feet away and he had nothing on but like boxing shoes with no socks and some black trunks
and
bare fisted.
Stay right? away from me.
And he's coming and you're like every other man who got knocked out by him in 3 minutes or less back in the day. You're just sitting there pooping your pants.
No,
man.
Those professional boxers that couldn't take the shot.
Like, right.
No.
Right.
There's
so
no way.
I might be like, wait, where's that 22? I don't know. Neither is a good one, but that's what he came up with.
Right.
Just that's the way his mind is
Let's
working
show you
today.
This two-minute highlight reel of him ending how many
My
fights?
Life.
15 fights with professional boxers.
I'm telling you.
Where
though,
they
man.
Were prepared for the shot.
Yes.
Like,
and he's wearing gloves.
Nope.
Yes. And you can fight back.
Yeah. Nope.
Yes. No. Ah, man. But, you know. You got to. I can't still see myself pulling the trigger on that. Now, if it's like, hey, you know, someone's holding the wife a gun to your wife's head or something like that,
got to
do it instantly, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, but you're gonna protect your family, but I don't know if I could bring myself to shoot myself in the foot.
I don't know if I'm messing with him, man.
I don't. I don't know, man. Knew I shouldn't have liked Riddick Bowe so much. All right.
Yeah. Are there two other options we could put in that kind of poll?
Punched in the face by Tyson, current day Tyson.
Yeah.
Because old school Tyson, hand me the gun. Just hand me the gun. Right? I mean, I don't know if it'd be much better. Now, they say he still has the punching power, and that's really all that matters.
Yes.
He doesn't have to go 3 minutes in the ring with me.
Yeah. I'm not trying to get him to the fifth round.
No, I'm not trying to dance with him here.
I'm not trying to run for as long as I can. Nope. I'm standing there taking a shot.
A baseball bat to the kneecap.
Ooh.
Mm. Good. Who's swinging it?
That's a hard no.
Who's swinging
Bryce.
It? A Bryce Harper baseball
Aaron
bat
Judge.
To the kneecap?
Yeah,
I was just
going
to go with like your sworn enemy, whoever that happens to be. Tony would do it. Tony doesn't have any enemies. I got too many. There's no way I'm pulling that option. I'll shoot myself in the foot. I'll go for the fleshy part. Is there a fleshy part of the foot? I guess. I don't know. Not particularly.
It's
right?
mostly bone.
Yeah. That's good. I'm never going to walk again, I guess. This guy, what's option number four? What do we go with option number four? What if it's like get tackled by an NFL linebacker?
Oh, I'll take that.
Oh, easy.
Yeah. Well, what if you're not wearing pads? He is.
I'm still taking that.
Full speed. I mean, you break your neck on that one.
I would take my chances with that.
Well, what if it's like the Tyson punch where you don't know it's coming? And
I don't want that.
He comes out from around the corner.
Now I got to, the rest of my life, I got to walk with my head on the swivel.
I want winners. Mike Singletary, by the way, see, Mike Singletary resigned from his high school gig?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry, 1-21.
Mm.
As a high school coach.
Nope.
I want winners.
That's right.
I want kids who want to win. Got the wrong school, apparently. He went like 1-10 and then 0-11, I think.
Can't win with them.
Can't win with them. Can't do it. All right, so let's get back to Jay Gruden, shall we? All right, so is that what we settled on here?
Maybe they got some ideas out there for what the fourth thing
Tyson punch, shoot yourself in the foot, Bryce Harper baseball bat to your kneecap.
Oh, you seen the video of that bear going in that car?
No.
It kind of just opened up the car.
That
was something that I've always been afraid of. Like, if you put me one-on-one and with a bear around, I know you can't get away from a bear.
In the car?
Something I've always been afraid of.
I thought about that, man. Like, if I get dropped off somewhere and there's a – what are you going to do? You can't run.
30 seconds in the car with the bear.
You can't run. You can't run. I saw a video this morning.
You can't zigzag?
They'll catch you. They're
faster
than you.
You can't climb a tree. You can't jump in the water.
Are they agile, too, side to side?
Agile enough to eventually
serpentine.
Get you. Like, you have to walk calmly away.
They say get in the fetal position, right?
What happened to play dead?
Play dead may work.
I'm not doing that.
It may work.
We all saw the Revenant. That works
but it
well.
May not. No, like, it's funny. I saw a video this morning of, like, a kid in Russia where there was a bear that was tracking him, and this kid is just walking towards his dad who's recording the whole thing, and his kid is freaking out as you would expect him to be freaking out, and his dad's like, stay calm, just walk towards me, right? And the bear's just tracking him the whole time. They eventually got away from the thing, but if he had run, it's over.
Are you supposed to look big, you know, like make yourself big?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that part of it?
I'm getting real.
You know what? We don't exactly live in bear country. I would hope if I lived in, like, the Yukon territory that I would learn these things.
Have a plan. Yeah.
Have some kind of a plan. No, I'd have that bear spray is
absolutely.
What I'd have.
You yeah.
know, for sure. I'm sure everybody carries the bear spray up in the Yukon territory. Very popular territory these days. We'll save Jay Gruden for the other side at this point.
I guess so, yeah. All right.
What other horrible, painful things could we choose not to do to ourselves? E.T. don't want to mess with a bear.
No, you can't do anything with a bear, man.
You ever see a bear in like a real, like, other than a zoo or anything like that?
No.
Yes.
So.
I saw one in Pennsylvania, but it was across a field and we were in the car. It wasn't dangerous or anything like
no,
that.
Yeah.
Where'd you see a bear?
It was that kind of situation.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I just know I saw one somewhere out in the wild.
Ever have a dangerous animal encounter? Like a really, like the most dangerous animal encounters I ever had when I was young. People with dogs not on their damn leash.
I got bit by a dog.
I did too, but I was petting the dog. He was outside the grocery store as a kid. It wasn't like a Rottweiler or anything. I was just petting this dog. Guy was inside getting his stuff, and the dog bit me on the hand.
I've had some run-ins with cottonmouths.
Yeah?
Working at the golf course. They were around.
Saw a wild boar on the golf course once, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But he stayed away. I minded my business. He minded his. I don't know if the cart would have outrun him. I don't know how... what kind of foot speed those things can get over a short distance.
I went down a rabbit hole one day when I found out hippopotamus were aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
Don't mess with the hippo.
Oh, you went down the YouTube rabbit hole. Digging for rabbits the hole. This bunny
It was when I was thinking about the bear thing, and I found out that hippos were real aggressive.
They say hippos, like, if you had a fight between all the animals, like, if you could, like, stay, like, hippos might win that thing.
Woo!
I wouldn't be surprised.
Because they can operate in water and land.
Yep.
Crazy strong.
Yep.
Fast.
Are they fast?
Yeah. Don't mess with the hippo, man.
Really? I'm going down the rabbit hole later today, I think. We'll go down the Jay Gruden rabbit hole. We'll talk about DJ Chark, Tyler Eifert, Chris Thompson, and Juwan Taylor, among others. Coming up on the other side, the Jaguars offensive coordinator speaking with the media via conference call yesterday, audio courtesy of Jaguars.com. What should we add to our list of things to avoid? All of the above, I guess, would be an option, but Twitter only limits you to four, so you're stuck. Can't have all of the above. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, E.T., wrapping things up on the other side with Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All Jags, all NFL. Jaguars today on 1010XL.
All right, the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures was weighed in on our last topics of conversation.
What they got for us?
Let me just fire them at you here. Shooting yourself in the foot won't kill you, but a punch from Mike Tyson just might. Point taken.
I like the way you
and
think.
And we did acknowledge that. Like, when we were first talking off the air, I said, you know, you could die. One shot from Tyson, the right shot, could kill you. But I'm pretty sure I won't be able to walk right. I know that. Like, I might survive that punch, right? I mean, people have taken a punch from Tyson before. They're tougher than me. All right, here's another one. Bears are agile enough to catch salmon. Can E outswim a salmon?
No.
No. But, you know, the bear is just doing that swipe maneuver, right? Like, he's got that big claw just going whoosh, and they are agile. I mean, you catch a salmon bear pawed, no pun intended, bare handed, that's agile in one sense, but that doesn't mean he can outrun you. I'm not saying he can't outrun you. I'm just saying that doesn't mean he can't outrun you.
I don't know about that one.
Or he can. Yeah, I'm not going to put this theory to the test. Here's somebody's litany. Like they say with snakes, what is it? Red on yellow, kill a fellow. Red on black, friend of Jack. That's like one of the saying. Like like a coral snake or whatever, the king snake, right? That's how you could tell, I guess, the difference between
shoot them all.
Shoot them all, says he.
I don't deal with
this. One says about bears, if it's black, attack. Brown, get down. If it's white, good night. Okay, so I guess that's like polar bear, you got no shot.
No chance.
Brown bear, play dead. Black bear, that's probably the easiest bear to take on.
If I have to, I don't want to, though. But if I have to, I'll fight a little black bear. Like I'll fight a pit bull.
A little one, right.
Yeah.
I won't fight a snake.
Then you'll get a scent all over you, then mom comes looking for you.
I'm looking right now. Polar bears can run 25 miles an hour.
Oh, I can't.
Grizzly bears can run 35
and grizzlies
miles
are bigger,
an hour.
That's
why you get down.
A black bear can run 30 miles an hour.
So black bear is definitely catching you.
Yeah, you are not running away from a bear.
No.
No.
No, apparently not. And they can climb as well and swim. So, yeah, we got no shot. Stay away from the bear.
Stay home.
What else?
Can you imagine a bear running at you at 30 miles an hour? How
I'd prefer not to.
That would be.
When you see that BMX video not too long ago, like somebody's going through like a trail through the woods and this bear comes out and the bear doesn't get him. But the bear like comes out from like the side or something. I think then it starts chasing him. He's like got a GoPro on. And he films the whole thing, and the bear just, like, chasing him on his bike. I think the bear eventually gives up. I was telling these guys on the break. I told the story before. We were stupid kids. I was playing hide-and-seek as a kid. Little did I know there was a full-grown beehive, a fully developed beehive in this bush I was hiding in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got out, and we realized, oh, there's a big beehive in there, like, you know, bigger than your head kind of thing. And so we decided, oh, it'd be smart to throw a broom at it a couple times just to see what that would do to the bees. And apparently the bees will chase you in a cloud of bees.
That's scary, too.
It was. It was kind of scary, because especially when you're a kid, and we outran the bees. And the bees eventually gave up, so we tried it again. We still outran them. But
no, I got swarmed by yellow jackets doing a neighbor's lawn. And, I mean, I got swarmed. I had to run across the street back to my pool. I don't know how many times I got stung, because yellow jackets bite, too. They don't just sting, they bite. And, yeah, I was shaking for like an hour and a half, 2 hours afterwards, where I could not control my body shaking. My mom wasn't home, so me and my brother, we didn't know what to do. Like, I'm probably lucky to be alive.
Man.
Yeah. Like, it was crazy.
Got a follow-up on the bear whisperer out there, you know, brown get down guy. He said, the black bear is just easily scared. I didn't mean to take it on. Laugh out loud, okay? So I guess, like,
So that video I was talking about, so I think it was a black bear, and he opened the car door, and the people from the balcony were screaming, like, and it stood up, it looked, and then it ran away.
Ran away. They scared it off.
He can have it, whatever.
So are you checking the back seat now when you get in the car, just in case?
Just in case there's a bear.
Fleming Island is rife with black bear, from what my understanding
is. I'll find a video for you.
Let's see. And one guy said he got attacked by his own cat when he was younger. The cat smelled another cat on him and freaked out. Said he went to the emergency room. The thing was all claws and teeth and relentless.
I bet.
Cats are wiry as can be, man. Yeah. I don't want to fight a cat.
Nope.
You'll beat the cat, but the cat will bloody you badly.
Yeah. It's like a knife fight. You're going to get bloody.
Yes, with a bunch of little knives.
Yep.
Right. And a fearless knife wielder. Wild boars are evil and fast, says another. So we're learning about nature. We used to do the Mike Dempsey's Wild Florida segment back when Donna did the show on occasion, and that was fun. I guess we just kind of did again. All right, let's get to Jay Gruden, shall we? A few thoughts from the offensive coordinator on some individual players, what he's seen on film mostly, and just talking to these guys, getting to know them a little bit, and feels that DJ Chark in particular has a bright future.
Well, I think that he's playing with a load of confidence right now, and that is very exciting, because he's got a skill set with the size, speed, to be able to come in and out of cuts. I think we can do a little bit more with him. I'd like to get him inside a little bit, do some more things with him in the slot. But he's an excellent specimen, and the thing that I've got to know about DJ in a little limited time I got to meet him, is he's hungry. He wants to be great. And when you have the athletic qualities that he has and then a desire to be great, he's going to have a very bright future. Now it's just our job to get him acclimated to this offense and get him comfortable, or he can go out there and play fast, because he's a big, strong, fast, hungry kid, and we got to get him the ball.
By the way, congrats to DJ Charks on social media. Recently engaged, I think, over the weekend. So congrats to he and his bride-to-be. Didn't catch her name.
Yeah, that's awesome. So congratulations, DJ. Jay Gruden was also asked about Tyler Eifert, who they brought back this offseason, and says he's excited to work with the guy that he worked with the first 3 years up there in Cincinnati again.
And Eifert, of course, I had him in Cincinnati for his first 3 years, and he is a great weapon. You know, when you have a tight end and a back that can and do some work in the middle of the field, it really opens things up for guys like DJ and hopefully LaVisca and, you know, Chris Conley and some of these other guys, D.D. Westbrook. It makes everybody better. Not only that, but the running game as well with Leonard. So it's great to have those guys in here, experience, knowledge of the system. But not only that, but they're great guys and great players.
And speaking of the running game, or at least the short passing game, catching the ball out of the backfield, Chris Thompson is going to play that role for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But an added benefit, says Jay Gruden, is that Thompson acts like having another coach on the field.
Yeah, I can rely on Chris for sure. Chris is he's like another coach, man. He'll correct me sometimes, probably. He's awesome. He's very smart, very detailed in what he does. He's a guy that really came from the practice squad and built himself into one of the best third down backs in the league. You know, barring some injuries, his numbers would be up there with some of the best ones. But he's a great player, great guy. I'm happy as heck to have him on the team.
And as much as, you know, Eifert's got a little bit of a connection here with Jay Gruden, Tony, Chris Thompson has an immediate connection, very recent connection. So, you know, in those circumstances, it will probably, you know, in a year where you're not going to get as much on-field work in before the season, it's going to help to have a couple of guys who are really familiar with what Gruden wants to do.
No doubt. And finally here from Jay Gruden was also asked about right tackle Juwan Taylor going into year two.
100%. Yes, he's long, he's athletic, and he plays with the tenacity that you love from a tackle. I'm very excited to get to work with him at right tackle, man. He can run, he can pull, he can get out there on screens. He's physical in a running game, and he can pass protect. He's got great feet. So he's got every quality you want on offensive tackle. The more experience he gets to handling some of the movement up front, the better he's going to be. But I think he's one of the, you know, best right tackles in the game athletically, and the more he plays and the more he sees, the better he's going to get. And Coach Warhoff's done an excellent job with him.
Not saying a lot already. You know, he said athletically, which, you know, can translate as potential, right? So, you know, if you want to hear more from Jake Gruden, there's more available for you at Jaguars.com. We appreciate them for the audio. Somebody sent me this clip. This is crazy. It's called Snowboarder Girl Chased by Bear. I was singing Rihanna Work and didn't know it was behind me. So she's like filming herself kind of gently going down this mountain. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, there is a massive bear that is chasing her from behind. I guess she's got the camera out in front, and the bear, maybe it gives up at a certain point, but she never even knew it was there. Kind of scary. One more from the text line, designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Where was it? In terms of talk about getting hit by pro boxers is a thing for nightmares. Don't need to get hit by Tyson. Just imagine getting hit by a Pacquiao flurry and ending up like Hatton did. Scary. Yes, it's all scary to me.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. All right, I'm not the toughest person out there. On Thunder Road, I'm reading this one, so right off the top, don't know if it's any good or not. On Thunder Road, Middleburg, doing 45 to 50 miles an hour, a black bear ran across the road at night, and I hit it with my car. He did a lot of grunting and groaning. He popped back up. Then he jumped a six-foot fence right after being hit by 45 miles an hour, scared the crap out of me, ran right back into the car, had to yell at the neighbors to go back because they had all come out to see what was going on. So it sounds like hit the bear, kind of got out to see, is the bear okay? The bear just shook it off, ran off, and then leapt over a six-foot-tall fence just to show you he could. You know, if I was hungry right now, buddy, this would be you I'd be jumping over. Okay? Oh. Yeah.
The bear shook it off. What's that?
Imagine, man. I mean, like, I wonder how many people are eaten every year by hippos, right? like tigers and things like that. Like, so, like here we are, like bears. Well, generally, you're not going to have to worry about getting eaten by a bear in Jacksonville, Florida. Occasionally, you might see a black bear, something like that. Mm-hmm. But there are areas of the world where
it's an issue.
You walk along, and if that tiger is hungry, he might be coming for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you don't have Joe Exotic there with his sidearm to save you.
Get off me.
Get off him. Come on. Ain't anybody going to come help me? Who sprayed something on my shoe? Roundhouse kick to the face by Chuck Norris has been nominated as well.
Oh, no.
Yeah, all that. That'd probably be worse than now, like at this stage, I mean, he's doing what does he do? The Bowflex? What is Chuck Norris's
thing? I don't even know, yeah.
You know the one he does, right? The
I remember seeing the commercial like 5 years ago.
I think I saw it recently. Now, maybe it's an old commercial. Maybe he's not working out like that anymore. But if he's limber, I think I'd rather take the punch from Tyson than the roundhouse kick. Right?
Is it the Walker, Texas Ranger Chuck Norris, or is it this Bowflex guy?
It's the same guy. I mean, it's just
the force of that kick is different.
True. I don't know. We'll ask Hacker. We'll give Hacker some options to choose from here. See what he goes with as we welcome in XL Primetime.
Now, the 2-minute drill delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, we are open, offering stress-free ordering and tamper-resistant packaging on all to-go, curbside delivery, and drive-through orders. Welcome to Moe's.
Somebody said on the text line, now this seems like it needs verification. There's a part of India where over the span of 200 years, more than 300,000 people have been eaten by tigers.
Whoa.
Well, India would be where I would be most concerned with the getting eaten by the tiger stuff, but that
India
seems like
Russia,
a high number.
Yeah.
Yeah, Russia, another big one.
They got the Siberian tigers.
Oh.
They may have hunted them to basically extinction.
Hacker Nation is here. Hello, Hack.
Mike, speaking of tigers, I'm watching these serial killer documentaries on Investigation Discovery over the next couple of weeks.
Right.
And,
you watched a Dahmer one the other night?
It's on the DVR. It's
okay,
on the DVR.
Okay, I watch it. I mean, I know a lot about the Jeffrey Dahmer story anyway, but it was still fairly interesting.
Well, the one of them, it's not a serial killer, we don't think, but they were doing one more of the Tiger King things on Investigation Discovery. I think it's
they're doing
June
that next
2nd.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Next
yeah.
Tuesday is going to come on.
They've
it's
been
like
promoting
the true
heck out
story of,
it. Of
Joe Exotic or whatever.
Right.
So I'm sure we'll learn some things. But I'm not even quite sure how we got on this. But E said, you know, he goes, have you seen Mike Tyson lately? He's in great shape.
Yeah, he's here in town right now.
Right. E said he thinks he'd rather shoot himself in the foot with a .22 than get punched in the face by Mike Tyson.
Ooh.
And then we started going into conditions. Is he wearing a glove? Do you see it coming? Is he punching you in the nose, the jaw, whatever? So, Hack, you got your choice here. Punch in the face by Tyson. Shot in the foot by your own self with a .22.
Ugh.
Hitting the kneecap with a baseball bat swung by Bryce Harper.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
he means business.
It's awful.
And a roundhouse kick to the face by Chuck Norris.
Oh.
What you going with?
That is, that's no good any way you slice it.
There really isn't any good option.
No. I mean.
Wrestle a bear. Maybe another one.
I guess, yeah, you know, getting shot in the foot.
Right. We're all, I mean, survive it.
Right. I just don't want to lose a toe or anything would be my concern.
That's the thing, man. You know, I'm not a good aim. I might get myself in the worst part of the foot.
Yeah.
I don't know. There really are no good options.
Well, I've always, it's like the question, would you, if you got a certain amount of money, would you go in a UFC octagon with like Ronda Rousey for 60 seconds?
Yes.
I probably would too, right?
Absolutely.
Right. I could just run around and try to avoid her as long as possible, then curl up in a ball.
I mean, as long as she respects the tap out.
Yeah, if there's no tap out, then no. Yeah.
Right, because I don't want to I'd be more concerned with her breaking my limbs, getting me on the ground and submitting me, and then she doesn't stop when I tap out, right? Like, I'd be more concerned with that than she's going to batter me. She'd land some shots, there's no question.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and I've got a reach, but at least I can kind of try to grapple and wrestle her. Yeah, I would for $1 million, hell yeah.
But
bring
I would think if you're getting $1 million, there would need to be some ground rules where, because you could just tap out and say, I'm done.
Obviously. There's no tapping out, but
a certain amount of pain you would have to
have. Well, that's the thing. If you say that if you tap out, you don't get it, then I'm not doing it because there's a good chance she's going to catch me and get me in a position where she's going to snap my limb.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I could, in the moment, like, go, it's worth $1 million. It's worth $1 million. Ah! And then she goes on to the other one because there's 30 seconds left.
I always loved my buddies back in the day that said, she's only 120 pounds or whatever. I don't think she's that bad.
Man,
I said, yeah, buddy, you get in that octagon with Ronda Rousey. Let me know how that works out for you.
Yes. What do they say? Not the size of the dog in the fight, the size of the fight in the dog.
Exactly.
If you know what you're doing, you can put a hurting on somebody. And I would be like a big crash test dummy for anyone to abuse. So, all right, let's try again. None of the above.
No.
None of the above. Instead, we'll listen to XL Primetime, which is not nearly as painful, although approaching that status. Now, what do you guys have coming up today?
Yeah, our head coach, Dave Campo, former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, is going to join us, as he always does, weekly in the 2 o'clock hour. And then, look, I mean, it looks like we're on the brink of sports returning in some fashion. The NHL looks like the wheels are in motion. The NBA, maybe at Walt Disney World, the wheels are in motion. Who knows what baseball is doing right now. But just talk about what the last 6-7 weeks has been like and the fact that I don't think any of us will take for granted our sports again.
All right, Hack. Have a good show. We'll be listening, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, avoid all those wild animals and dangers out there. Got a couple here. Let me give you the update on the poll questions, Tone, quickly. Mm-hmm. We asked you today, how confident are you the NFL will play a full 16-game schedule? More confident than not, got 49.3% of the vote. Extremely confident, got 28.9%. So people over 50, like three-quarters of the people are more than 50-50 that there will be a full season. Mm-hmm. Not very confident, 16.8%, and not confident at all, only came in at 4.9%. So mostly people are confident. Has the coronavirus pandemic impacted your NFL ticket buying plans for 2020? And this could be either way, going to be more or less likely to buy. 48.7% said no, 31.1% said yes. Most of those said, hey, I'm taking more of a wait-and-see approach. What pandemic got 13.4% of the vote, and what is the NFL got a surprisingly high 6.7% of the vote. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Stick around. XL Primetime coming up next. For Tony Smith, for ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars Today back again tomorrow from 10 to noon on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
And I got one more thing to say.